Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9 and beginning of the chapter. But Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, came to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so that if he found any who were of the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise up and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But the men who were travelling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no one. And Saul rose up from the earth, and his eyes being opened, he saw no one. But leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without seeing, neither ate nor drank. Verse 17, And Ananias went and entered into the house, and laying his hands upon him, he said, Saul, brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus that appeared to thee in the way in which thou camest, that thou mightest see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And straightway there fell from his eyes as it were scales, and he saw, and rising up was baptized, and having received food got strength. And he was with the disciples who were in Damascus certain days. And straightway in the synagogues he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And all who heard were astonished, and said, Is not this he who destroyed in Jerusalem those who called on this name, and here was come for this purpose, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Acts 16. Paul again in Acts 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass, as we were going to prayer, that a certain female slave, having a spirit of Python, met us, who brought much profit to her masters by prophesying. She, having followed Paul and us, cried, saying, These men are bondmen of the Most High God, who announced to you the way of salvation. And this she did many days. And Paul, being distressed, turned and said to the Spirit, I enjoin thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same hour. And her masters, seeing that the hope of their gains was gone, having seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the market before the magistrates, and having brought them up to the praetors, said, These men utterly trouble our city, being Jews, and announce customs which is not lawful for us to receive nor practice, being Romans. And the crowd rose up too against them. And the praetors, having torn off their clothes, commanded to scourge them. And having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison, and secured their feet to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing. And the prisoners listened to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison shook, and all the doors were immediately opened, and the bonds of all loosed. And the jailer, being awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the doors of the prison opened, having drawn a sword, was going to kill himself, thinking the prisoners had fled. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And having asked for lights, he rushed in and, trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And leading them out, said, Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. First Epistle of John and chapter 1, reading from verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we report to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is indeed with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7, If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I want to speak tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of God, about the light of the gospel. We've read in Acts 9 about Saul, the light that shone from heaven into his soul. We read about Acts 16, Paul and Silas in prison, praising God in prayer. And it was dark there, and yet there was light from God shining out in their souls. And we read in the First Epistle of John about the light of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We start in Acts 9, we have the Saul. We read quite a large passage of scripture, but we need to get the background here. Saul, a man zealous for God, as he thought, acting in what he thought was God's best interests, seeking to stamp out the name of Jesus, destroy the name of Jesus from this world, thinking that believers in Jesus were evil and against God. And what happens on the way to Damascus in his purpose to stamp out the name of Jesus? He meets Jesus himself. The light from heaven that shone about him is the light from the Lord Jesus. Saul met the very person that he was trying to stamp out the faith of Jesus. He met the Lord Jesus himself. And what a change happened to Saul. What a change happened to Saul. You might think, I think in modern day English, we might describe Saul as a terrorist. He was seeking to destroy people, to bring them to Jerusalem, to seek to bring Christians to Jerusalem for judgment and ultimately destruction, death, punishment. He was seeking to destroy people. And what happened? He met the Lord Jesus himself. He changed, became changed. He saw the light that shone out of heaven, a light greater than the noonday sun we read elsewhere. It says, falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? That's the case for Saul. He was persecuting the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? He was seeking to stamp out the followers of the Lord Jesus, the believers in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus felt that, such that he had to intercede on behalf of believers in this world. How did he do it? The Lord Jesus didn't intercede by destroying Saul, even. He didn't do it by entirely destroying him. No, friend. He shone into the light of into the life of Saul, personally. He shone the light from heaven into Saul's life, that he might be changed. And what do we read of at the end of this passage? We read that, and straightway in the synagogue, Saul, he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. God is not seeking to come out towards us in judgment today in this world. We live in the day of grace. Praise God. The Apostle Paul, as he became known, when he started out in his journey to Damascus, he was seeking to bring great evil upon the followers of God. And what did God do? And it wasn't destruction. It was Jesus shone into his life and made him a follower of the Lord Jesus, brought him salvation. Each one of us in our lives and our pathways here, we may not be on the road to Damascus exactly in that sense, looking to persecute Christians and destroy God's work in this earth. But each one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. It's what it says in Romans. We cannot in any way restore the relationship between us and God that was destroyed by sin in our lives. It is impossible that we, of ourselves, in our own power and strength, can overcome the difficulties that sin presents for us in our relationship with God. Sin has come in and brought distance between each one of us and God. It has separated us entirely from the Almighty Creator God. And it is necessary that difficulty, sin, should be overcome. And it cannot be overcome in our own power or our own strength. We have here Saul, someone who he says of himself, he was brought up a Pharisee of the Pharisee, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, educated to the best possible standard that existed at that time in knowledge of God, as was revealed in the Old Testament. And yet he didn't know God for himself. He didn't know God. He knew all about God. He read the Old Testament, but he didn't know God for himself. So what happens? The Lord Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and shines into his soul. Now tonight in the Gospel, there's an opportunity for each one of us to have the Lord Jesus shining into our soul, to establish in that moment a link, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Look at what he's done on Calvary's cross, how he shed his precious blood, of which we mentioned in our third scripture, blood that can cleanse from all sin. We can look at the blood of Jesus shed at Calvary and find that it cleanses from all sin, that there's a way to be made through for us that can wipe out sin entirely, all made by the Lord Jesus in that sacrifice at Calvary's tree. I would like everyone in this room to come to the Lord Jesus for themselves tonight, now, before it's too late. To come to him. We may not have a what we might call a Damascene conversion. We may not have a great big light from heaven shining on our pathway. But if you come to the Lord Jesus tonight, we have the promise in our second scripture. Jumping ahead a bit, but it says there, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That's the promise of God in the gospel. Come to the Lord Jesus, believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. You can be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what, you ask? Well, saved from death, yes. But saved from what comes beyond death, eternal destruction. There's a place called hell, a place of eternal destruction. The scriptures speak of that. A place reserved for the devil and his angels. Reserved for, not for people, not intended for people, for men and women in this world. And yet that will be where those who ignore, who have not come under the sound of the gospel, have not had a relationship with the Lord Jesus, come to that Calvary's cross and put their faith and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus. If you haven't done that, you will, through death, enter into eternal destruction. The believer in the Lord Jesus is promised that you will have eternal life through what the Lord Jesus gives you. The woman in John 4, she met the Lord Jesus. Perhaps it's easier for us to relate to her in some way because she wasn't a murderer like Saul, the Apostle Paul. I don't think anyone in this room is a murderer. If you're a murderer, it's pretty obvious you're a sinner. Maybe some of us think we're not sinners. But the fact of the matter is, we are all sinners. She was a sinner, the woman in John 4. And she came, or in fact, the Lord Jesus came to her. And he offered her something amazing, living water. Water which if she drank, she would never ever thirst again. And she wanted it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want something that could satisfy your soul forever in this world? That's something the world keeps trying to offer you. It's something that might satisfy your soul. And yet, this woman in John 4, she tried everything that the world had to offer. It makes that abundantly clear if you read the whole passage. That she tried everything. And nothing satisfied because she kept moving on and trying something else. And yet the Lord Jesus, when he met her, offered her something that he said would satisfy her forever. Would satisfy her soul need. The fact of the matter is, each one of us has a never-dying soul. And that soul craves a relationship with God. It needs that relationship. And it's the only thing that can satisfy our souls completely and eternally. And the only way you can have that relationship is by coming to the Lord Jesus for yourself. Accepting what he's done for you, believing in it, having faith in him. There is no other way. It changed that woman in John 4 too, coming to the Lord Jesus. It changed her immensely. She went into the city and told all the people of that city, come see a man who told me all things I had ever done is not he the Christ. She became a preacher of the word, essentially. She became a testimony to the Lord Jesus in this world. So did the Apostle Paul. What a change came about him. Straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he saw, and rising up was baptized, and having received food got strength. And straightway in the synagogue he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. There is no one else in this world whom I can point to but the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. There is no one else whom I can point to for your eternal salvation. It is impossible that you can do it yourself. It is impossible that you can turn to another except for the Lord Jesus. In the morning meeting, we spoke about the wonder of the life of the Lord Jesus. How he walked entirely pleasingly to God and Father. He never sinned. Never in any way put a foot wrong. Never in any way did anything contrary to the will of God. And that's not something that I can say. And that's not something that anyone in this room can say. But it's true of the Lord Jesus. And you think, so in that case, why did he die? Because death is the wages of sin. And he didn't sin. And yet he died. But he died because men crucified him. But it was necessary that the Lord Jesus should be crucified. Because if he hadn't died, there would be no blessing for you and I in the gospel tonight. The blessing is that in the gospel, Jesus, in the 3 hours of darkness on Calvary's tree, bore the punishment for my sins, for your sins. And that means that God can then look out on us in blessing if we believe in the Lord Jesus. He has taken my punishment, borne what was due me in judgment from God for all my sins. I could not bear that judgment, friends. You cannot bear that judgment. The only way that you can escape that judgment is to believe in the Lord Jesus. In Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas. This is later in Paul's life as a Christian, in his experiences with God, in his relationship with God. And we find him in a very, very dark situation. No light at all in the inner prison. Light entirely absent. Because when the jailer came in after the earthquake, he had to bring lights to see what he could see what to do. So you think, friend, Paul, converted, believing in the Lord Jesus, cast into prison for exercising the power of the name of Jesus. Essentially, he did nothing wrong, but yet he was put into prison. What was he doing? Was he upset? Was he angry at God for allowing such circumstances to fall upon him? No. At midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. I am pretty sure that in that prison, in the inner prison, in total darkness, in stocks, they were bound feet and hands, immobilized entirely. I can't imagine that anyone had ever, in praying, praising God with singing. I don't imagine that ever happened before in that inner prison, until that moment when Saul was in there. Paul and Silas. What an effect it had upon those prisoners. They were all quiet and listening to what Paul and Silas had to say about their God, their relationship with God. The God, the Lord Jesus, who had appeared to Paul on the Damascus Way and saved him entirely, brought him into a new way of life entirely, with a new object, a new aim to serve the Lord Jesus, with a hope above all things in this world, to be with the Lord Jesus forever. And how it affected them, in prison, in total darkness. And I think there was light from the Lord Jesus shining out on that occasion. And that was answered, because there was an earthquake. The jailer, being wakened, seeing the prison opened, all the doors open, and the bindings of the prisoners loosed, drew a sword and was going to kill himself, thinking the prisoners had fled. So what did Paul do? What did Paul do? Did he just leave him? Let him kill himself? He was the man who'd cast Paul into prison. No, friends. The grace of God had touched Paul. He couldn't let a soul die. He said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And what the effect of that is for that prisoner, that jailer even, to ask Paul, "Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved?" He realized that the faith that Paul had was greater than the circumstances in which he was. It was able to overcome all, able to overcome the circumstances of that prison. And he says, "What must I do that I may be saved?" And the answer is exceedingly simple. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved." That's the same message tonight, friend. The same message that Paul told that jailer. The same message I'm preaching tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. That's all there is to the gospel in that sense. There's nothing great that needs to be done. We might feel that we'd like to do something great, something wonderful, to earn or achieve or deserve our salvation. But it is not necessary. The Lord Jesus has done it all. What a change came upon the jailer and his household. He washed Paul and Silas their stripes, and was baptized in all his straight way. And he brought them into his house and laid the table with them, and rejoiced with all his house, having believed in God. That jailer came into relationship with God. That's what God desires in this world. That's why God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, that our relationships with God might be restored through what the Lord Jesus has done, that we might have a hope beyond all things in this world, a hope that goes into eternity. All of us. That's what God wants. In the Epistle of John, John records that That which we have seen and heard, we report to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is indeed with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. The message of the Christian gospel is not a half-hearted message. The woman in John 4, she was promised something that entirely satisfied her soul. What John's writing of here says, that your joy may be full. There is nothing lacking in what God is offering you in the gospel tonight, in the Lord Jesus. There is nothing lacking. It can totally satisfy the desire of your soul, your never-dying soul. And friend, what God promises you in the gospel is amazing. It's eternal life. Life, not just merely immortality. There's men in this world seek through science to try and extend life, to overcome all these the effects of sin in our physical beings, try to extend the age to which we live. That is not eternal life. Eternal life from God is a new character of things entirely. Something that men cannot achieve at all. And it can only be come to through the Lord Jesus himself, the originator of life, whom ye slew, as Peter says at the beginning of Acts. This is the one in whom I preached to you tonight, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no other person I can point to you tonight. We have this as well in verse 5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. How terrible that would be if we are still in our sins, if we haven't come to the Lord Jesus and washed our sins away in his blood. Because God is light entirely. If you come into the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus, as he shone on that road to Damascus, Saul couldn't in any way refute what the Lord Jesus said. It highlighted him, that light highlighted him and showed him in his state what he was. He was short of the glory of God. The light of God highlights us all to be short of the glory of God. But we have this in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have the promise of God that we can be cleansed from all sin. Promise that we can have eternal life. Promise that we'll be... The Lord Jesus is preparing us a place in heaven right now. And he's coming again for those that believe in him. To take believers in the Lord Jesus, to be with Jesus forever in heaven. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message simply as outlined. There's many other facets of the gospel message, but the central part is that you need to come to the Lord Jesus. You need to have a relationship with him. You need to have your relationship with God restored and get that eternal life. Have the earnest of the inheritance, the token, the Holy Spirit given, something that all believers receive. And you can have full assurance of faith. We talked about full assurance in the reading. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, there is no doubt, there can be no doubt, because your faith is resting on someone who's done all things well, done everything to please the Father. There's no fault at all can be found in the Lord Jesus. I commend the Lord Jesus to you tonight. I hope and pray that everyone in this room has an individual relationship with him, has found that blessing, the peace from knowing their sins forgiven, that burden of sin forever lifted, their sins washed away in his blood. May it be so. May there be blessing upon the word spoken. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.